Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. You know, every single year, unfortunately, we're regaled with stories of real estate agents who are in violent situations. They go to meet a buyer that they've never met and an assault takes place. They're at open houses. The fact of the matter is it can happen simply pumping your gas. We are out in the community, friends, and we put ourselves in dangerous situations. And it is our responsibility to do those things as safe as we can. Enter in Harry Shaw. Friends, on today's episode, we are going to talk to a third-degree black belt in Krav Maga. This is the ultimate in self-defense. For 15 years, he's been teaching people and first responders how to defend themselves when violence strikes. We're going to talk how to have safe open houses, how to pump your gas safe, the general rules, and even if you're the parent of a child who's being bullied, we're going to go into that. Sit back and buckle up. This is Harry Shaw.
In this episode, we discuss self-defense strategies relevant to real estate agents, including scenarios that may involve personal safety risks during showings or open houses. Please note that the conversation includes references to physical violence. While we approach these topics with care and professionalism, some listeners may find the content distressing. Your well-being is important. Please listen at your discretion and take breaks or skip this episode if needed. If you or someone you know needs support, we encourage reaching out to a trusted resource or professional.
Harry, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Now, I start every episode by asking our guests, how did you get into the greatest industry in the world? Which, of course, is the real estate industry. But not you, sir. You are in the self-defense industry. How the heck do you get involved in that?
So it actually came in through a passion of mine. If you ask my people in Mexico, they really get surprised that I'm doing this for a living because I'm always the most peaceful and nice guy. And it kind of fell to my lap. I started as a young kid in martial arts, and I never really found the application. I knew how to punch, how to kick. But whenever I got into trouble, I was like, how do I apply this? And fast forward all the way down to 2003, 2004, and I found a friend of mine was teaching this in Austin. And he's like, hey, you need to come try Krav Maga. And I'm like, what is this? I love it. Krav Maga is the official hand-to-hand combat system for the Israeli military. It's a system that integrates a lot of principles. And I love systematic approaches to things. Instead of having multiple things to think about, you follow the principles and then you find the solution.
So this is interesting. When I would think about the official something for a military, I would think that would be offensive for the most part. But whenever I hear you speak about Krav Maga, you speak of it as defensive. Help me understand that.
So it's an interesting parallelism between self-defense and combat. We're always looking to de-escalate. We're really trying to avoid conflict. And sometimes conflict arrives, and then we have to deal with it. So whenever something starts, we're always trying to de-escalate, either trying to talk ourselves out of it and say, hey, I don't want any trouble. But if trouble arises, we recognize the threat, and then we solve it. It's a very practical approach. And when it comes to military and law enforcement, we don't have a lot of time to teach those people very complicated things. They need to absorb it and apply it right away.
Well, that's kind of the other piece of your world. So for more than 15 years, you've been training law enforcement on how to be safer in their lives. I have to think you've learned a lot from that. As you think about that experience, what's the one thing that you've taken away from all the time you've spent with law enforcement?
You know, I have a special soft place in my heart for law enforcement and first responders, firefighters, and military. They have to make a lot of really fast decisions that encompass a very complicated structure. When it comes to law enforcement, they have to have the law on their head, they have to have the procedures, they have to de-escalate, and then they have to make the decision in a split second.
If I didn't know better, I would say you were describing real estate professionals. But again, we are talking about law enforcement. Similar.
The most amazing thing about this stuff, man, is that I have found the principles of Krav Maga have seeped into my life and my business. And it's about, what is a threat? How do I contain it? How do I approach it? How do I maneuver around it? How do I pivot? I always forget that I've been, this is my 20-year in business. I've been doing Krav Maga for 23. And it blows my mind how simple and realistic things are.
So friends, you know what time it is. On this show, we're all about models. So you don't have to take the notes. I'm going to take all the notes. If you don't get the notes, go to MREANotes.com. They come out every Thursday. You're going to get a one-page notes from this episode. It'll be everything you need, friends. Don't get mad at me. I know I'm interrupting, but I'm interrupting because it's something important and it's an opportunity for you to make a little money and move closer to your clients. Here's how it works. You are going to go to MREANotes.com/Airbnb and you're going to sign up, friends. It's only for real estate agents and it's free. Once you sign up, you're going to get access to localized market data about rentals in your area so that you can start talking to your homeowners about the opportunity. You're also going to get invited to a webinar, and here's the coolest part. If you decide to refer out any of your clients, they're going to pay you a referral fee. Friends, it's a win-win-win. You can't go wrong. MREANotes.com/Airbnb. Harry, walk me through this, and I want to talk about it in a couple ways. I want to start with a model around how I defend myself. Then I want to talk specifically about real estate agents, and I'm going to give you some situations we find ourselves in. Then I want to talk about advice that you think we should be giving to our kids, because a lot of the listeners to this show have little ones, and they're in elementary, they're in middle school, and they're in high school, and these are real conversations. So start with a basic model for me. How do I think about defending myself?
Well, by start paying attention. Often enough, we are distracted. And I ask everybody that I train with for the first time is, think about a predator, right? So think about the lion looking around and they're going to pick their prey or their food, right? So what are they looking for? They're looking for the young. They're looking for the old. They're looking for the distracted. And they're looking for the injured. Right? So the same thing applies to people. Predators, they don't want to prey on somebody that looks confident and then they can handle themselves. And it's about how you portray yourself. If you're always on your headphones looking down, and if you're not paying attention to your surroundings, that's how people get in trouble, especially nowadays. I mean, you travel a lot for a living. Look around at the airport. Everybody's looking at their phones, they're at their headphones, they're not paying attention. They're single-minded people, they're just going, here, I'm doing this, doing that. And they forget about, hey, look around, look what's happening around you. So understanding the situation that's arising around you is going to be essential. The second thing is understanding your environment. That's what's called tactical awareness. So not only, hey, this situation is arising, but how do I get out of the situation? Very simple example, fire drills in the school system, right? They're in school, they get a fire drill, and they rehearse it, and they know how to exit, drop, don't touch the handle, make sure the smoke's going over there, fold this path, there's the lines, exit, boom, they're out. So understanding your environment is going to be huge. Now, this is the interesting thing. There's a lot of correlation, and this is why I love principle-based systems, is because it doesn't matter if I'm talking to a father or I'm talking to a chief of the police or a firefighter or a nurse or a mom. It's about paying attention. It's like, I'm not going to get in trouble if I'm looking around and seeing what's happening. And people are just get distracted. And we get distracted because we become so familiar with our environment that we decrease the level of, oh, nothing's going to happen. I mean, think about the three top places that people relax. First one, home. You come home and you're like, oh, I'm home. The second one is what? Your car, right? Because you get in the car and you have your CD, you have your iPod, you have your thing, you're comfortable. You make yourself at home. The third one is at work because you spend the majority of the time at work. So the more time you spend somewhere, the more your defenses and your situational awareness gets lowered. Even tactical awareness.
It's funny you mention that, because I remember the second time I was meeting with you, I was sitting in my car, I had parked in the space, and I was on my phone, and you jumped out and banged on my driver's side window and scared the shit out of me. And I couldn't understand what kind of human I was in business with. So I opened the door, and then you gave me this talk about being out in the world and being completely unaware of my surroundings.
Yeah, people get in the car and they think that, I mean, it is a tank and it's protective. But think about this. You just arrived from a trip and it's like 1 a.m. And the first thing you do, you go to get your car and you get in the car and start looking at emails, getting on TikTok, whatever. And then you're just hyper-focusing on this. And then you're seeing the world through a keyhole. There's nothing else that matters, right? Your tunnel vision right here, mesmerized. And things can be happening in front of you that you don't even know.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. Okay, so number one, paying attention. Number two, understanding my environment, which sounds like I'm going to understand how to get out of it if I need to.
Of course, you see your environment to survive. Yes.
What's number three?
Number three is just action. It has to be purposeful and intentional. And I usually say violent, but people get really upset. Why does it have to be violence? It's the violence of action. You see something, you do something, you do it. You know, you're like, hey, this is going to happen. I need to go this way. And I'm going to go this way no matter what. So it's being able to detect something, understand something, and then go through it. You know, we need to exit, we got to go, right?
So you told me that the key, the first step in self-defense is being able to get away. No one had ever explained that to me before. When you said that in the pre-interview, what do you actually mean by that?
The Nike defense, right? So this is two things, right? And it encompasses the three things we talked. Situational awareness, tactical awareness, and actionable items, right? But at the same time, if you don't understand your environment and you don't know how to leave, how are you going to survive, right? And the other thing is that people don't forget about being in shape. Doesn't matter. I'm not asking you to be an Olympian or a marathoner or somebody that works out 10 hours a day, you need to be fit enough to run away. Because again, we talked about the predators earlier. The cheetah only can run for a little bit of time at top speed. And if they can survive it, they'll get away, right? When you teach self-defense, you're not going to be a street fighter. You're not going to be a prize fighter. You are there to survive and to go home or to get in the car and drive away. There's no accolades for being a hero. So that's kind of the big thing for me, is like being able to not only have a clear mind, but also being able to find a way to go home safe.
Well, I think the Nike defense is fascinating because, you know, when we first started training together, I had no idea how long I could run at a sprint. And you said, well, how do you know if you can get away? And I started really thinking about that. I don't need to be in the best shape in the world. I need to be in better shape cardiovascularly than the attacker.
Yeah, well, this is where it's a double-edged sword in the conversation, right? If you fail at recognizing your environment and somebody grabs you, now you're going to have to fight off. And that's a different fight from running, right? So I used to have a decal that says it had a zero in it. It said, I don't run, I fight. You know, I don't run away from the bear. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be here and fight. But the fight itself is brutal. 90 seconds with somebody my size, which I'm about 250 pounds, it's going to feel like an eternity on the ground. If I grab you and I'm on top of you, you can't run. What are you going to do in the middle of it? And I always tell the police officers when I train them, the last situation you want to be thinking about being in shape is when somebody's trying to grab your gun to kill you with it and you're fighting for your life. You don't want to be hearing this conversation, man, I should have gone to the gym a little longer. I should have gone for a run every day. You know, that's the worst time to think about this stuff is when it's actually happening.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So when I think about step three, which is action, if I have the ability to run away, I'm going to run away. If I can't run away, now it's time to have action. And you told me that one of the important pieces of action is what I do with my voice during it. What did you mean by that?
So we talk about, and I'm going to get a little bit technical, but we talk about a force continuum. So the force continuum happens. The force is using force to de-escalate or escalate enough so it can de-escalate, right? If you're talking, you're breathing. being verbal, you can say, hey, I don't want to have any problems with you. Leave me alone. I'm leaving. You can have my wallet. Go away. I don't want anything. What else do you need? But the next thing is going to be the escalation, right? This is what we call the personal combatives, which is using your hands, your elbows, your knees, your legs to defend yourself. Being able to command somebody, hey, I don't want to fight, or stop fighting me. Help, call 911, leave me alone. Then people are starting thinking, whoa, what's happening here? They're going to pay attention. They're going to help you corroborate the story, articulate the story within the law enforcement side of things, because then you're creating, people are like, yeah, I heard him say he didn't want to fight. He told the guy 10 times, stop fighting me. I don't want to hurt you, right? Hey, I don't want to fight. I don't want to hurt you. Leave me alone. Go away. So it's interesting because we're all taught from the, since we're little, to be nice. Don't yell at people. Don't bite. Don't kick. Don't punch. Use your manners. Quoting one of my favorite documentaries, Roadhouse. You know, it's okay to be nice until it's time to not be nice. And that's, I think, that's something that people forget, is that you have to be able to go into the darkness to come out to the light. And if you're facing somebody grabbing your gun as a police officer trying to shoot you with your gun, or somebody's trying to rape you, or somebody's trying to grab your kid, you're going to have to be violent towards that person, and you're going to have to be okay with it. So your verbal aspect of things is going to keep your oxygen going to your brain, but also it's going to give commands for them to stop what they're doing or de-escalate and comply.
What I never thought about is you said the things that I yell while I'm defending myself create the narrative that ultimately ends up getting explained to a police officer can keep me really safe.
So there's a stress inoculation that happens when something violent happened. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident, but you get in a car accident and then there's the adrenaline and you're like, oh my God, what happened? What did I do? And then you get nervous. You look at your kid if you're traveling with them. Are you okay? Is everybody okay? And then you get out and then you take a picture and you're looking at the driver. You're making sure there's no, it's a lot of things, moving pieces, right? And being able to build a story and have a framework of being going, okay, if I get in a car accident, the first thing I need to do, make sure everybody's okay. Great. I'm going to pull out my phone, start a video. Most of the time when you get out of the car, people start, oh my God, I'm so sorry, it was my fault. And then 10 minutes later, they're like, no, he cut me. And they change the story right away, right? Because we tend to be nice and we tend to be stressed out. When you are the most stressed, more things are going to come out of you. Things that you've trained for a long time will come out of you without you thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So the unconscious response to a traumatic event is what we're worried about. I got a new client this morning, and he has boxed, he wrestled in high school, and he did jiu-jitsu. And I guarantee you, if I stress him enough and I put him in a hard workout and I start attacking him, something is going to come out of him that he's like, I don't know how I did that. It's like, well, you trained it enough that it's going to do that. The same thing happens with the words.
It's fascinating to me because I was interviewing one of your students who said that, you know, she's a professional. She has all these degrees. And she's fantastic, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the first day that she joined your self-defense class, she punched the bag and literally started crying. And she said, I had never punched anything before, and I had never faced an assailant before. But now she's a year into training with you. And by the way, she still hasn't been attacked out in the world. But there's no more crying when she punches. She has a self-confidence that she never had before. And you know what she told me here? She said that learning how to defend herself in her mind is as important as learning her trade, but she never realized it.
Well, I'm sure you teach this consistently. If you visualize it and you see it, then it will happen, right? You're like, I'm going to get to $1 million. I'm going to sell this house. But if you can't see it in your head, how's that going to happen? You know, I was thinking, what is one of the most important things that I can tell your audience is that nobody's coming to save you. No one. I can call 911. How long do you think they're going to get here? Or some Samaritan is going to come in and help me. So you have to take ownership of your own fitness and your self-defense solutions. And I love stories like you said. When I have you do a workout, like a strength and conditioning workout on the strength and conditioning side, people come in and they do push-ups and they push and they sweat and everything's great. But when they come in and do Krav Maga and they punch the bag, it becomes primal, and also it unlocks memories and trauma. So I'm not surprised, you know, somebody punches the bag and all of a sudden you're like, what? Where did that come from? I always tell people, I'm so tired, I can't come to class. Come tired, because then you're going to put everything that happened in the day in the bag. And then you're going to leave going, man, I let all that energy out in the bag. I feel great because I don't have any more anger or insecurities or anything like that. The more you learn what you can do with your body, the more you're going to be pumped up. I mean, we've seen it with kids, we've seen it with women, we've seen men. Some men come to me and they've never fought in their lives. And now they're like going, hey, I have a grandchild and I'm traveling and I don't know how to do this. And then 2-3 months later, they're like, man, I know I can punch somebody and run away. Because that's the thing, right? You're not going to stay there and slug it out for 3 minutes. Your job is to create an opportunity to get the hell away and go home.
I love that. All right, so let's walk through some activities that real estate agents find themselves in all the time. Number one, we spend a lot of time in our cars, Harry. So give me some general rules for being in the car, which then ultimately leads to pumping gas. We're at gas stations all the time. How do I stay safe?
You need to know your area. So when you get out of the car, especially it's dark, you park, you look around, look at the parking lot, see who's there, put your keys in your pocket, and then I usually open up one door and then lock it so they cannot open the door from the other side. And then when I do that, I look around, I go do my thing, I put the gas in, boom, and then I get in the car and I look closer. And I'm just paying attention to the pump, right? Because I'm not going to sit there and lollygag. I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm there to pump gas.
All right, next.
Knowing the area you're going with. If you're going to a new gas station or you're traveling to Buda or San Marcos or San Saba, whatever, and you're not from there, don't leave everything to the last minute. Go home, get gas home, get there, and then surveillance. If I have an appointment with you, like if I would have been going to the studio today, our appointment was at 11, I would have got there at 10:30. And then I would get out, I would look around, I see where I'm going to park. I usually park with the car facing forward, so I'm back into it so I can get in and get out right away. But it applies to any type of structure you're going with. If you're going to a hotel, if you're going to a conference, get there early, look for the exits, be curious and snoop around. Right? People are like, why are you here so early? I'm like, don't worry about it. Because I'm paying attention how everything's working, who's what, who's the leader, who's doing this. And I just like to people watch. So keep your eyes moving around, head on a swivel at all times.
Okay. I am meeting a buyer for the first time who called off of one of my signs. I don't know this person. I've talked to them over the telephone, and now I'm meeting them at a vacant home to show them the property.
So two things happen. Actually, several things happen. You have to pre-qualify the buyer or the lead. You get their phone number. If I were you, I would invest on buying. There's a bunch of ones online. You can put in the number, find the name. Also, if you have a full name and an email, you can go and grab the internet and go to LinkedIn, go to Facebook, see if you have anybody in common, and start kind of building a story of who this person is.
So you're going to do a little bit of light reconnaissance internet work before you ever show up.
100%. It's the same thing I did with showing up early wherever I'm going to show up to. So now I have a little bit of a data in my head to know, hey, this kind of guy kind of looks weird. You know, I don't feel comfortable with it. Also be perceptive in the sense of what kind of questions are you going to ask? If you feel something in your heart, there's that premonition. You're like, this was kind of an odd conversation. It's just very, you're like, what is happening here? What am I going to get into? You know? So I would pre-qualify that. And if you already know your property, then you need to go and literally go into every nook and cranny in the property and see what the choke points are in the property. What do you mean? I'm not going to walk into a closet or a bathroom to talk to somebody so they can close the door and do something to me. If I feel uncomfortable with a person and I'm by myself, I'm going to be like, hey, this is the master bedroom. It has a big built-in closet. It has a big bathroom. Go ahead and snoop around. I'm going to wait out here for you. You know what I'm saying? Sounds really weird, right? But they're not going to take offense. They can see what they have. You don't have to talk about the marble on the counters and look at the toilets made out of gold. They can see that, right? Self-defense is a very logical thing. It's when you get your brain going, don't be a weirdo. Just go in there. Show them around. Treat them nice. So have that in mind. Who are you meeting? Where are you meeting? Get there early. And then if you get there early, you see them come in. What if they come in with another person? Let's say it's a female agent and they're coming in. There's supposed to be one guy and then there's three guys coming in. I'm like, I'm not going to show this house. You know, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to call somebody and I'm going to let them wait for 10 minutes. See if I can get somebody up there with me. I've had this, and you know this, I'm hyper available to my clients. I've had a couple of my realtor ladies call me. It's like, hey, I have this weird feeling about it. Can you come? I'm like, yeah, no problem. And I show up and I just stand there and look around, you know, and they feel a little bit more comfortable. But this literally happened about a couple of years ago. And she called me. She's like, man, there's a bunch of guys are coming with. They're from out of town. I don't know. This feels weird. And I showed up and there were four guys, you know, and I'm like, and I'm always like thinking tactically, right? I'm always behind them. I have my gun on me. I'm like, I'm paying attention and they feel uncomfortable, but I don't care. When my friend introduced me, he's like, oh, he's my assistant. You know, you don't have to explain anything to anybody.
Are you a proponent, if I'm going to go meet somebody, that I tell someone else where I'm going?
100%. 100%. You need either your spouse, your secretary. Also, what I tell the parents with the kids and the teenagers, you need to have a code word. The code word is something that, let's say if I call, if you and I are good friends and I'm like, hey, man, some shit happening. I'm going to call you and I'm going to say, hey, how'd you like those new beans that I gave you? And you're like, oh, that's weird. Like something, it could be a short phrase or a question, or it can be a random word that you and me have decided. With my kids, if they go to a party or they go somewhere and they need to be picked up and they don't want to stay there because something's weird, they just call me and say, hey, how's mom doing? They blame me. I'm like, make me the bad guy. And then they hang up like, dude, my mom's not doing well. My dad's going to pick me up. He's not letting me stay. Oh, come on. Let me talk to him. It's like, yeah, talk to him. And then I show up and pick him up. This requires a lot of thoughtful planning. You become so automatic. And this is, you know, relating to the system, right?
You also told me that when it comes to kids, the key here is talking to them about de-escalation and having a relationship with the school such that they understand where you stand. How do you think about that?
So empowering the kids to have the confidence, not to only talk to you, but talk to the teacher, right? A three strike, you're out rule kind of deal. If my kid is getting bullied, and this has happened with three of my kids, but I remember Lauren specifically, I think she was in second grade. And there was this kid that was like, stomping her and like punching her, and Lauren is like, don't hit me again, and went talk to the teacher, came home, was like, this kid stomping and punched me. I'm like, okay, you tell the teacher. Yes, second thing that happens, same thing, don't punch me again. I'm gonna tell the teacher. Tells me, the third strike is I show up. So I showed up to the school. The teacher saw me. I still remember her last name. She sees me, she's like, hi, Mr. Shaw. I'm like, hi. I said, how are you? Good to see you. And I'm like, hey, I had Lauren in my hand and I said, hey, just want to let you know. And I looked at her and I said, Lauren, if this kid hits you again, I want you to break his face in. And the teacher's like, oh, that's not going to happen. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen because I'm empowering her to take control of this. And I'm letting you know what's going to happen. And then Lauren and I know that if she ended up punching this kid in the face, whatever punishment or consequence was fine. We were going to deal with it. I was in our corner. And this goes back to understanding the consequences of your actions. And this is where I kind of want to bring the legality of things. Like, I know a lot of your listeners carry a gun.
And they do.
But they don't know how to fight themselves out of a paper bag. So you go from, I have a gun, to I'm going to use the gun. And how do I use it in a stressful scenario? Some people can't even dial 911 because they're so stressed. Now you're going to pull a gun and try to shoot somebody. It's completely unrealistic. So I'm like, come in, learn how to defend yourself. You're going to have a better, and if you need to get a gun, then go and learn how to use it under stress, right? So it's kind of the same thing, is you need to find what you're willing to do to survive a violent attack. And also, you're going to have to be able to be okay with whatever you decided to do. So it's like if I go on 620 right now and I'm driving and some dude cuts me off and I honk at him and I'm riding for a little bit and all of a sudden we get to a stoplight and then he gets out of the car. If I freeze myself right there, I have a bunch of options. I need to already be fine with whatever option I pick. If I decide to stay in my car and then don't engage and then drive away when the other lane goes out, that's one option. But if I decided to get out and I start duking it out with this guy, I can hurt him and he'll go to the hospital. I can kill him and he'll be dead. He can hurt me and I go to the hospital. I can be dead. And then after that, what happens? My job is gone. The way I can protect my family and provide for my family is gone. If I hurt somebody and I make him a paraplegic, I'm going to be in charge for that person for the rest of my life. Medical bills, all kinds of things. And that goes to my record, right? So those are consequences that you cannot be thinking about. It's like, the house is burning. What should I do? Well, should I call the insurance company? You're like, yeah. No, you need to get out. You need to have a plan and execute it, which goes back to our self-defense scenario with your ladies, right? Pre-qualify the client, number one. Pre-qualify your home and the structure. Have a plan. Talk to your ladies. Talk to your friend. Talk to your assistant. Say, hey, this appointment should take me 15, 20 minutes. If I don't call you or I just send you a thumbs up, you need to call me and figure out what's going on. And then have a plan to get out. Like when you park in the driveway facing that way so you can get in the car and go. Keep your keys in your pocket. Don't leave them in the car. You know how many people do that? They leave the keys in the car.
It sounds like common sense stuff, but I get it because we get lulled into this false sense of security. We had a guest named Phil Jones, and he wrote a book called Exactly What to Say. And he makes the argument that the worst time to think about what to say is the moment you need to say it. And it sounds like you're saying the same thing.
It's basically Monday morning quarterbacking. And I know you're a sports guy. You played basketball before, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I could have done this and I could have done that. And like, if somebody passes the ball, I can have shot. Oh my God. But it's the same thing with you watch a movie. I would have done that. No, you wouldn't.
Well, so Harry, let me ask you this. Why do you think that so few people make learning how to defend themselves and being in the sort of shape they need to defend themselves such a low priority? Because I got a lot of listeners who, they make a lot of money, they drive beautiful cars, they have really big lives, they have beautiful families, but they haven't spent any time learning how to defend themselves. Why do you think that is?
So I'll tell you, this is the saddest thing. Of all the law enforcement, and military people a little bit of a different kind, but all the law enforcement that I've taught over the last 15 years, I would say about 2% of all those people are in shape.
Wow.
So how can I convince somebody that is putting their life in the line every day, exposing themselves to a violent encounter, to be in shape? How do I do that?
I don't know, man.
I'm not telling you to come become, you know, Jason Bourne or Nikita, but come in and be uncomfortable. I think that's, so to answer the question, yeah. I don't know the real answer of why people are so loosey-goosey with their fitness and the self-defense. But the reality is this. You get money. If you have plenty of money, you might have a bodyguard. All right? Or you might think that I live in a really nice neighborhood. They have to come into me. There's security. I don't have to worry about it. I live in the bubble. Nothing's going to happen. The other one is when people don't want to come in, they get uncomfortable. I hear this from a lot of ladies. Oh, you know, there's a lot of guys in this class. I'm like, yeah, who do you think is going to attack you? Like, come on. You know, that guy smells bad. I'm like, what do you think the homeless guy smells like? You can't be like, oh my God, you don't smell like roses. This is disgusting. You're going to have to sit there and be uncomfortable. And I think the resilience, and you know quite a bit of my clients, you know, that have gone Krav Maga with me, that are part of the gym. And the workouts are meant to be tough because you create a tough mentality. You're like, dude, I just did this battle, this really hard workout, and I survived it. Or, hey, I did the self-defense class and it was awesome and I'm consistently doing it. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm not going to make you, again, a prize fighter, but I cannot go to sleep at night knowing that I could have taught you something that could have saved your life or at least got you away enough so you can get help.
There it is. You know what, Harry? You could not literally have ended this show any better. I love what you're doing for the community. I love what you do for first responders. I'm loving what you're doing for real estate agents.
Thank you.
Thank you for keeping us safe, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
It's a difficult conversation to have. The truth of it is I'd like to pretend that we live in the safest place in the world and it's like the Truman Show and nothing's going to happen to us. And by the way, you never have an emergency until you have an emergency. Phil Jones told us that the worst time to think of what to say is when you need to say it. Friends, the worst time to think about how you're going to react if you're attacked is while you're being attacked. I wish we could sweep it under the rug. I wish we didn't have to do this show. I wish we were talking about open houses and how to get more clients out of them today as opposed to how to be safe. But you know what? We have a responsibility. You have a responsibility, I believe, to yourself and to your family. And if you're going to be in the real estate business and you're going to be dealing with the public and you're going to be meeting people for the first time, friends, you need to know how to defend yourself. It might be as simple as having the confidence to throw a punch or a kick, or the understanding to create distance, or the understanding to create awareness, or to start looking for your escapes, and then being willing and able to take action when you need to. I want this to be the last year that I read about realtors being attacked. And you know what? Far too often, there are real estate sisters out there that are getting attacked, because that's what I read about. And you know what? We're in an industry that's 62% strong women leaders. And I believe every one of those leaders has the right to operate safely and the responsibility to make sure that they can defend themselves if they need to. Friends, please, I'm begging you to go take action so that when action is needed, you know how to take it. Go forth and do likewise. Before you go forth and do likewise, wait a second. Earlier, we talked about Airbnb, and I don't want you to forget it. Airbnb has joined the most powerful podcast in the industry to roll out the Airbnb Real Estate Agent Referral Program. Go and sign up. It's free, gang, and you're going to get the localized market data so you can be the economist of choice. When your clients are thinking of putting their home for rent, you'll be able to tell them how much they're going to get, how long it's going to take, and if vacation rentals even make sense for them. Then if they decide to put their property into the system, you're going to get paid. It's a win-win-win. You can't go wrong. MREANotes.com/Airbnb. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders. But it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week, we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.